Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Tide Drop of Horrors. What's going on? So, I don't know. I don't know even where to start. Let's start with the markets. The markets, again, continue to be, what do we say? They continue to be volatile, but yet, and they are ending up almost every day near the unchanged line. I think it's quite the incredible story. The VIX is made, five or six months high, something like that. And the VXX is moving up again, and yet the markets won't budge off of the center line. But again, volatility is telling you that any rally will probably not last. But we're also seeing that the sell-offs will not last either. I think it's kind of interesting. It's kind of, quirky, maybe we'll say. Something of that nature. You're seeing a lot of strange things happen. You see Tesla, still more valuable than General Motors and Ford. Pretty soon they'll be more valuable than both. You wonder, what are these people thinking? They're actually buying it. And again, I don't have anything wrong with. I love the car. I don't think the company's very good. Show me something that Elon Musk has done without aid, other than PayPal. And again, listen, I like him too. I think he's very smart. And certainly if I could take the advantage of that, I'd be right next to him. But these valuations are something that we have to watch and understand. And I don't see, we're getting, much to go from there. So at the end of the day, here we are now. If we want to talk about, what's driving the market, I guess we're still being kind of driven by the promises of Donald Trump. I think that, unfortunately, I don't think any of them are going to come true. In fact, I've got some wagers with a few of the people in the business that saying that exactly what I'm telling you now is that I don't think this year is going to happen. I think we're getting too late in the year, and they've kind of fixated himself on the healthcare, which is fine. It's not important if they get done today. It's important if they get it done. And the truth of the matter is the market needs a reason to sell off anyway. So it would be perfect if they didn't get those now, and then we got them when we needed them, when the market was getting done with the next correction. But in the meantime, the markets are a rare strange bird right here. And, there's not a lot of exciting things, that are going on, except that they are moving pretty substantially back and forth. And I think this is something that, we have to look at and kind of understand that the markets are edgy and getting ready to do something. So if we weigh all the factors in, okay, we look at, the volume. Right? Well, the volume has been marginal, not huge. We've had, fairly steady since this little thing came in. The market breath has been bad. Market's got bad breath. Now it's, we've seen more new lows than new highs. That is not a bullish sign. I think we've seen, a changing of the guard. We've seen the financials under some pressure. Now, of course, tomorrow morning we get J.P. Morgan, which will give you a better idea. But I don't believe that their earnings are going to be great. I think this is going to be more of a problem than than a solution. I think you've got some issues here because, again, these earnings, these big bragging earnings deals were put up against a, you know, against what was going to happen, and we haven't seen it happen yet. You know, we have the whole story about regulations and Dodd-Frank, and, you know, are they going to repeal that and take back some regulations? And I think they will, and I hope they will. But in the meantime, they're not gone yet. And, you know, where are these earnings going to magically appear from? That is something that I don't understand, is how do we think that these earnings will magically appear? What was done to create the earnings? What was done to bring out the new earnings and improve them? That's what I don't see. Okay. And, you know, I think that the issue is, you know, they've promised X, and I'm not talking about the Trump administration, I'm talking about, you know, the earnings, and everybody's looking for a big bump in earnings. But the real question is where is it going to come from? Okay. That's what I don't understand. I don't understand where we're going to get this big bump from all of a sudden, because all of a sudden is not here anymore. So how are we going to see a bump in earnings if we haven't done anything to improve the sales around earnings? And that is something that that I find very curious, is that, you know, it's great to make promises, but you have to be able to deliver, and somewhere we have to find that those earnings and that growth has to come from something. And quite frankly, I don't know where it's going to come from. All right. You know, we've seen growth continue to fall. We've seen jobs, you know, just very mediocre at best. So where is the earnings growth going to come from? That's the hard question. That's the billion-dollar question here, is where is that growth going to come? And, you know, I think that when you look at the big picture, okay, the big picture show is, I'm very bullish longer term on what's going on. However, as I thought, and as we've talked about a number of times, it cannot happen that fast because there is too many damn things that can go wrong and too many people in the way of what's going wrong. And that is something that I find to be questionable, okay, is to why, you know, we get so excited when we all know the process drags on like molasses. And one of the things we don't have, so even if all these projects get done, how fast are they going to translate to results? And that's the next question. That's the billion-dollar question, all right? And I don't see it happening very quickly. So that is, you know, really the overall issue, is there's nowhere we're going to be able to create that growth from. So how are the earnings, what makes us believe that the earnings are going to be all that much better? That to me becomes a much bigger problem as we try to, you know, say, hey, you know, we're in this position. And that is really something that, again, that I don't see as a real true probability here in the short term. Bullish long term, short term, I see some issues coming. But shorter term, I see a break coming up. So I better say that this is the Bubba Show. And of course, I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And I encourage you to go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. I also encourage you to come to my Friday webinar. It's Good Friday, I understand, but you can get it on the website, bubbatrading.com. But we're going to do a webinar on hedging. So stop on by. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be back right after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what's going on, everybody? So I would like to be that guy on the United Airlines plane getting dragged off and getting the crap kicked out of you. How's that? How's that for a PR stunt? Now, you know, I don't understand. I hate that too, because you know that they always overbook the flights, and of course, you know, and I don't know if you've flown recently, but almost every plane is full now, and so there's a better chance of that happening. Of course, they're offering vouchers and all this stuff, but when did we have actually somebody get yanked off of a plane that was already seated? Okay. And you know, I don't understand, if the, what they were possibly thinking about pulling that guy off, and let alone forcibly pulling it off. I mean, did they not realize that that this is going to cost them millions? I mean, it costs the stock, you know, and that'll come back. I'm not worried about that part of it, but that it costs the stock, you know, I don't know, something like, $1 billion or something like that off of the market cap. I'm not sure the exact number, but somewhere around there. But in the meantime, more importantly though, is what is that going to do long-term? I mean, they're going to get sued, which means lawyers, which means they're going to lose. The only question is how much are they going to lose and how many people are going to sue them? Are people going to sue them just, you know, because are they going to be a class action for distress? Yeah. You know, but what are they thinking? And then what is Munoz, the chairman, thinking now, coming out yesterday and saying, well, we're going to make it right? Well, why didn't you just make it right in the first place? I mean, what are you possibly thinking about when you've got this situation and all of a sudden, you know, you drag this poor bastard off the plane, right? And now he's going to sue you and he's going to talk bad about you and everybody's going to see that it's possible. So if you have a choice between, you know, a United or somebody else, you're probably not going to fly United. You know, again, it's just so silly. You know, they give those vouchers away. I mean, they could have done anything. They give the guy 1,000,000 points. Who cares? I mean, why are you, you know, creating and dragging the guy off? I mean, and why him? And I know I said that it was some algorithm or some stupid thing. You know, the point is very simple, right? You know, the airlines are now making money. And, you know, what they've done is they've brought in, you know, all of this, you know, they've tightened up all their flights. They don't fly as often. They certainly don't fly as many. And of course, what that does is it brings in more planes are packed all the time, which is fine. Look, I have no problem with that. I mean, I think that's the correct way to be. I mean, you know, you get full planes, you know, you're not wasting, you know, money. You're actually making money so you can stay in business. And God knows we'd like them to stay in business, even though you may not like United per se. But now you've got this other problem. Okay. You've created a nightmare for no reason. And, you know, is that going to mean that, you know, there's going to be somebody else? And the other real problem here in this industry is the ability to have real, true competition. And that was always something that I found to be very disturbing, is there isn't, the regulations are so strict and so tough, it's hard to have full competition, all right? And when you took out Continental and you took out United Airways, I guess it was, you've taken away more of the competition, and basically these guys have it. They can stick it right to you. And they make it very challenging for smaller carriers to operate in many markets. And that just, you know, you can't get space. You can't get hangar space, I guess they call it. And I find that also very troubling because, you know, at the end of the day, here we are in a problem. And, you know, we're getting ripped off, you know, by this, you know, charge for this, charge for that, you know, baggage charge, ticket charge. You know, they've made the seats smaller. They've done everything to make flying the most uncomfortable experience around. All right. And obviously they've done a good job for the private airways, the private jets, because certainly if you can afford it, you're not going to want to put up with this crap. All right. But why is it? Why is it? I mean, and I, like I said, I have no problem that they squeeze every potential dime out of every seat. I mean, that's they're in business to make money. I have no problem and no issue with that. But why are they doing it at the expense of being the good guy? You know, I mean, let's be, you know, we're going to be jackasses. Let's do it. Look like we're going to be good guys while we're being jackasses. I mean, I would think that would make more sense, don't you? You know, we're going to be a jackass, but we're going to be a nice jackass. We're going to be a jackass that you want to come back on and fight. And you know, of course, this is the issue because, you know, the whole flying experience back in the day used to be an experience. You know, people used to dress up for it. It was like an event. Now, you know, it's a mode of transportation and you've got, you know, they don't serve food anymore. They don't give you anything. I mean, you know, you fly on Spirit, you got to even buy water. I mean, so they've made the experience very unpleasant. So they crowd you in and of course you get stuck sitting next to, you know, someone who either hasn't bathed or someone who's, you know, way overweight and you get squeezed in the seat that's already little to begin with. And if you're any taller than 5'5", you know, you can't really sit in those chairs comfortably. And they are the most uncomfortable things in the world. But yet here's United dragging a guy off the plane, all right, and want to ruin the reputation more. It just obviously not a good business practice. I'm sure that they regret it. But sometimes, unfortunately, regret, I've had a few, but too few to mention. No, regrets are just that. I mean, it's too late. And why weren't they thinking about that ahead of time? And, you know, what's the security company's, problem here? What are they going to get stuck paying? And again, that's something that I think that we make, you know, we make big mistakes, right? And the mistakes that are made are kind of dumb. I mean, that's, I guess, really what I'd say. Just kind of dumb. I mean, there was no reason for that. And yet, there we are with the kind of a dumb mistake. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to cost them a pretty penny. They'll survive it like everybody else. And you'll have to fly them because, you know, they own certain routes. And, you know, unless you want to fly around the world in 80 days to get somewhere, you know, they may have the only nonstop. So, again, you know, it'll be forgotten. You know, this will go away just like everything else goes away. But this is what I'm talking about in this whole country of where we accept substandard. We don't get the true free market setup or system because the markets are not really free. Why? Because you don't really have a choice. You know, everybody's kind of priced in the same neighborhood. All right. You know, because they know what's going on. They're stupid. You know, does anybody out there not believe that they actually do a little price fixing? Anybody? I mean, really? I mean, even Southwest, who advertises all their gimmicks, they're not so such a bargain either. And they do a lot of stuff that is not, you know, they talk about you can change anything you want. Well, that's a bunch of BS. I've tried to change a couple of times and got stuck at my, you know what. So, you know, I can listen to their commercials all you want. But I can tell you this, that if you don't think there's a little price maneuvering going on there, a little price fixing, I would suggest that you think again, because why are they always within a few bucks of each other? You know, they'll have a flight here or a flight there that's much, much cheaper. One's much cheaper, one's much more expensive. But overall, they're right in the same neighborhood. Why? Because that's what they got. They're all going to fill up. And, you know, they've got, you know, anything that's a competitive route, you know, they'll all compete together. But you don't think that they don't have meetings together to discuss this? I know that's against the law, but again, don't kid yourself that there isn't a little bit of price fixing going on here, because that's how they roll, and they're another agency that's kind of controlled a little bit by the government as well. But that's a story for another day. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And Friday, Good Friday at noon Eastern, I'm doing a webinar on hedging. Free to come and check it out. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back with more after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here.
the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Come alive, come alive. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And so here we are. And, you know, we're in the midst of a lot of things that may or may not happen. And of course, we've got, you know, all kinds of stories going on. But what the heck is going on with oil? I mean, are we really believing that Saudi Arabia has that much power, or OPEC has that much power in oil? Is that really what we see, or we're going to see? And that would be, a market setup and a market system, all right? That, you know, are we going to let the OPEC control this? The crooks that they are, I think that, you know, your understanding of what's going on here, I think, is being a little bit misled by whatever. I don't think that, you know, OPEC has, I mean, again, OPEC's a crooked organization. They're a bunch of crooks, or a bunch of thieves, or a bunch of no good, whatever you want to call them. You can fill in the blank. But they don't do anything for anybody, all right? And they don't do anything. They screw each other, all right? You know, they're not, nobody's kidding anybody. But is that why we're holding up oil here? I mean, we have build after build in oil, build after build, and yet here we are, seeing oil going higher. Now, if you just do simple math, all right, we have well over a 200 year supply in oil in the United States of America, without affecting the greenies, without affecting anything. And that is based on the current usage of how we use oil. Now, we all know that fuel efficiency has gotten better and will continue to do so. So if we're going to learn how to consume less by natural action, and somebody's going to say, well, yeah, but there's gonna be more people. Yeah, that's fine. But you're going to consume, first of all, we use less because we do not drive anywhere as near as much, because nobody goes shopping anymore. Everybody does anything on Amazon. You've got a lot of people that don't even own cars anymore that use Uber and Lyft. So you've taken the ability for consumption off the table. So what is driving this price higher? Well, one of the things it could be is they're getting ready for summer driving season. And of course, they'll use the words, well, the summer driving season, well, God forbid we have to have summer driving. We got to have thinner gas. It's more expensive. God forbid. Right. So they're going to tell you that story. All right. So that's how they're going to pump up prices. And it's amazing how these oil companies, no matter how much trouble they have, they always have monster profits. You ever wonder? So now they're going to convince us that, you know, well, it's summer driving, so we got to pump up prices. And of course, they're trying to get prices up because they want to pump them up at the pump, you know, and they can, you know, rake in bigger profits. And, hey, I'm a capitalist. I admit it freely. And I don't have a problem with bigger profits. I have a problem when they're not based on a true market system. Okay, that is the real problem that I see. is we don't have a, again, this goes back to, it's like everything else we're talking about. We don't have a true free market. Now, I should think that you and me and Baby make three. Now, I think we should find that a little bit disturbing. I think that, you know, overall, we should be a little bit, you know, unhappy with that setup. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, I think that that becomes a bigger problem. And I don't think that we should continue to just ignore, you know, that we don't get the opportunity for competitive markets. You know, just like what we talked about with the airlines. Well, the oil is no different. I mean, you know, it's the same old story. You know, basically, you know, the one of the bigger problems in oil, first of all, is it's the one of the most overtaxed at the pump. But if you look around, I mean, you know, the old days, you know, you'd go to the station, you know, I don't know, let's go back 40 years, 50 years, you know, 29.9. Right, so you're 29, the guy across the street was 28.9. You'd go to 28.9, yeah, you guys would goof around back and forth. But in the meantime, who cared? It was 28 cents a gallon. You know, now you still have, you know, stations are very competitive in the right communities because obviously, again, each community, I mean, even where I live in Chicago, I mean, you cross the county line and gas is like 40 cents a gallon higher or 30 cents a gallon higher one way over, one county over. So, you know, where are we at here with this whole mess? And, you know, I think Chicago is, it pays one of the highest amounts for gas because we have one of the highest amount of taxes that are involved on gas. But at the end of the day, it's a problem because, again, this goes back to the free market theory. We're letting OPEC mandate in their mind. And of course, it really should have nothing to do with what we do. But of course, we're letting that be a case. And you know why? Because the oil companies are happy to let it happen because they want to be able to charge more. It's all about the pennies at the pump. All right. I mean, if you really think about it, you think about, I forget what the number is, but it's a gigantic number. Every penny on a gallon that they snarf off you is huge. So, of course, they're going to tell you that there's a problem because why wouldn't they want to tell you there's a problem? Because here we are once again, you know, getting snacked on, you know, on things. And at the end of the day, you know, we do our thing and we end up with the usual crapola. We end up without the free market system. We end up with a mess. You know, we don't get what it is we're supposed to get. And that is my problem, is it goes back to the free market system that we're really not seeing here. Because if you were seeing true free markets, then these prices wouldn't be at these levels. All right. But again, this is what the Keynesian model of economics bring you, is higher prices because there's things that have to be paid. All right. And unfortunately, that becomes a problem. If we don't, you know, take care of that, then we need to be in better shape. And that's where I think the problem comes, is that we need to be a free market society. And if we're not, then we're going to have the continued arguments and problems that I think we have right now. And to me, I find that kind of disturbing. I find that kind of upsetting that we don't get the opportunity to really let the free market system play. And that goes pretty, you know, we've talked about this a couple of times, but I think it bears repeating. You know, why is it not a free market system? You know, this goes into for wages and for everything. I mean, you know, if you, you know, lifted, you know, wages, if you did things and allowed the free market to take place, then we wouldn't have a lot of the issues that we have. And I find that to be more troubling than anything else. All right. I mean, again, I find it upsetting that because we don't let the markets trade 100% freely. And that's just the stock market. I mean, any market, right? I mean, basically, you know, everything we do is a price discovery model. You know, there are fixed costs. And of course, you know, when you go to a retailer, they have certain prices they're going to charge you. And, you know, obviously you go and do unknown products. I mean, we all know that, you know, a pair of Nikes are going to be, you know, give or take, you know, $10 the same everywhere. Right. The one thing we don't know is jewelry, you know, things you can't identify. You have no idea. You know, car, you go bargain for a car. All right. You know what you're paying. Right now, you know, that's somewhat of a free market. But, you know, basically you churn back and forth and you try to find out where, you know, where you can buy that car at and what's the price. And if I can put you in that car today, young man, what will you be able willing to pay for it? But we all know that they're kind of, you know, working around together and they all kind of have the same model. You know, they get you in a box, they squeeze your potatoes off and then they finance you to death. And, you know, you paid, they got their money back from you. But I mean, what I'm saying is that this is the problem. All right. When we don't have that kind of system where you can negotiate your own, we end up with a system where somebody's dictating, you know, the bottom line price. And the truth of the matter is, why should there be a bottom line price? It should be a negotiated price between a buyer and a seller, like everything else. And I think that becomes the bigger problem. I mean, we know what it costs. We know retail works on a 2x markup or more. You know, you buy jewelry, you got no idea what you're buying unless you're carrying your own loop and you know how to, you know what you're looking at. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I know I bought my wife a ring. I know it costs a lot of money, but I have no idea how much I got screwed. I'm sure I did. I got no bargain, I'm sure, because I bought it from a buddy. I'm sure I got no bargain. But in the meantime, that's what we look at, and that's where the free markets are missing. And that's what I find to be a little bit problematic. But what I don't find problematic is having you here. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, LibertyTalk.fm will allow you to download the show every single day. And, of course, I want to invite you to my webinar on Good Friday. We'll do a little hedging, 12 noon Eastern time. You can go to thebubbatrading.com and get a link for that free. In the meantime, I'll be right back after the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, we continue to see this action of non-action. So let's talk about some of the things that are driving the action and some of the things that piss me off on a regular basis, and that is nothing is happening that fast. There will be no tax cut this year, my opinion. But I think that's pretty accurate. I think that there'll be maybe some repeal to the Dodd-Frank stuff. But again, that won't be so easy either. I think that we're creating a lot of issues and we're building a lot of hopes and dreams. And instead of looking or keeping our eye on the ball, and to me, the problem is very simple. All right, we need to first cut the budget and figure out to do that, which it makes sense why we're trying to get healthcare done first. But we've got to really, you know, tighten the belt and really try to make things happen. And the only way we can get things going is by, you know, building from within and making things work. And, you know, that's where unfortunately, our government is always they're the slower downs. They're the slower downers. And that's a bigger problem. Okay. Look, if we didn't have to go through much grief and red tape, all right, and it's not, this is not constitutional stuff. This is these jackasses in Washington that are trying to glom onto as much cash as they can, so they make everything difficult. You don't think these guys are public servants for free, do you? I mean, let's not confuse the issue that these are almost like hourly employees trying to stretch out their career for more money. Every one of I apologize. A big percentage of them are nothing but sellouts. Do you think that this country would be in the shape it's in debt-wise and everything else if we had people in Washington that really cared about what was going on here. If they weren't just for the money, do you not think that we would not have a much better system? Now, listen, America's the greatest. I'm not bitching about America. I'm just bitching about some of the things that go on. Because for my money, okay, for my money, I don't understand why everything is such a big deal. All right? Well, think about it. Why is it a big deal? Because somebody's got to be clipping you and stealing some of your money. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a big deal. All right? But again, when you get these guys involved, when you get these folks involved, all right, that are only interested in the capital that they get out of it or the cash, all right, you're going to have a problem. You don't think we could possibly have built up this kind of debt without all the money going out the back door. You know, again, I mean, why else would guys make such big campaign contributions? You know, people in general that make big money, that can afford those big donations, they are people that are smart enough to know that if they make a big enough donation, they're gonna get favor with who's going in office. Again, that goes back to the old story, is why the big guys always get both parties. All right? Until this election, they had given to both parties. This was the first time they made a stand, and thank God they got it stuck up their potatoes. But you don't think that they're actually sitting there figuring out, you know, how to take care of us. They're taking care of themselves and getting as much money as they can. And again, that is the problem with the political arena, is that you've got too much larceny out there, too many ways to get around the system. And to me, that becomes the bigger problem. And you tie that in with an organization that can print money. What do you got? I mean, you know, if you just think back, and again, you don't have to be an expert on the market or an economist, but if we just look back logically, why the heck did we bail out the banks? Okay? Tell me why we did bail out the banks. You know, when certainly, if the Fed was going to print $4 trillion, they could just give everybody back their deposits and let the banks go under. So why was it such a big deal that they decided to bail them out? You know, why are they too big to fail? Why would the United States of America allow companies to get in a position that they could take down the country? You know, if you want to take this down to a smaller thing, then, you know, you could certainly just say, hey, you know, in the trading floor, all right, or whatever, if I can steal a little bit here or curry favor, you know, it always is the same. It's just the numbers change. You know, if I can get a favor, you know, and get money for it and do something for you, but I'm getting paid for it, right? The same as advertising. I mean, everything is the same, but people are, it's about making money. And that, to me, is a problem. Not making money. I mean, again, you know me. I'm a full free market capitalist. All right. But I want it to be done fairly and not through manipulation and not through Ponzi schemes and not through things that are not logical. Okay. Because again, it's very easy to figure out where logic stands. I mean, if you're out there and you're running a business, I mean, you don't get the same advantages that they don't. You can't go out and raise money and get paid guaranteed pay. You got to produce. And that, to me, starts off with the overall bigger problem. And that's why, you know, I have a problem with the way the system runs, because I think we've allowed too much greed. And greed is fine. You know, Gordon Gekko says greed is good. I have no problem that greed is good. My problem is that at least if you're going to be greedy, you should be exposed and have risk that goes along with the greed. And if you don't have to take risks, then you're really not being greedy. You're just stealing. Right? So greed is good, but at least those who are really greedy should have to be exposed and potentially take risk when it goes to it. And with no risk, then where's the greed? It's just larceny. And that's one of the problems that I have, is that these people don't take risk. They just take the money. I mean, you know, let me loan out $1 billion and then have it go bad and get bailed out and then take a bigger bonus. Sure, why not? I mean, that's a good model. And that's my issue, okay, is that simply that if you continue to allow this to happen, it'll be the breaking of America. There will be a point of no return at some point. You know, the economists can't think of it now, but we all know that schemes have to end eventually, and there will be a point of no return. And that is the issue that we always face, and that's why I'm always so upset about the way these things get done, because I believe that everybody should have to pay for your actions. But accordingly, they don't always, not everybody else believes the same way. And I think that's overall a bigger problem. And to me, you know, again, I'm happy with anybody who makes money, but at least I want it to be fair and equitable. And, you know, the smarter, harder worker, whatever it is, however you got there, as long as it was done within the framework of what we're supposed to, I'm all for it. But when you have a printing press in your backyard because you got the lobbyists, you got everybody else panning your dough, that's when I run into the problem. But that'll do it for today, unfortunately. But always great to be here. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, I'm doing a webinar on Good Friday at noon Eastern time about hedging, free. Join me, go to the Bubba Show, go to BubbaTrading.com and get the link. In the meantime, everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you back here tomorrow. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.